Lamentations. It's very distressing. It's very serious because of God's judgment on His people. We learned in Sunday school this morning as we work our way through the books of the Bible, we learned that Lamentations is probably the saddest book in the Bible. And it is written on the judgment day of when the Babylonian army came through and judged God's people on July 9th, 586 B.C. As they come through, Jeremiah had preached for 30 years, and as the Babylonian army breaks up the city and the walls, he weeps, and that's why it's called the Book of Lamentations. And so as you're reading through the book, all of a sudden, in chapter 3 and verse 20, God uses Jeremiah because he says this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. In the darkest time of his life, when he's watching God's people, Israel, be judged for their sin, and it's awful, and you read the book of Lamentations, he says, how do you have hope in that type of judgment? Literally, the people were being murdered, and the children, they'd been in a siege for 2 years. And how do you have hope when you call to mind? That's verse 20. Look at verse 21. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. He recalled to his mind in the midst of the darkness of the hour, he recalled to mind the mercies of God. And he said, that's how I have hope. Can I just, if I told you this morning, what is mercy? Mercy, the word mercy, is God not giving you the punishment that you deserve. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If you understand that, you understand when you're asking God for mercy, have mercy upon me, O God, you're saying, God, please don't execute all the judgment that I deserve. Don't execute all the judgment that I deserve. As I read Lamentations 3:22 this morning, I just want to lay a foundation. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Listen closely as I read this verse. I'll come back to some of these here in a little bit. Just listen. Psalm 130 verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Listen closely. God says here in His Word, if He checked every sin, if thou, O Lord, should mark iniquities or sins, who can stand? Who has a chance? God says in His Word, He doesn't do that. There's things we have wrong with us that we don't even know we have wrong with us. Those are called secret sins. If God showed you everything that was wrong with you, you'd quit. You only know what's wrong with you, what God has allowed you to see. But if He marked iniquities, the Bible plainly says, you did that wrong too. It plainly says nobody could stand before God. Nobody. Listen to this verse, Psalm 103, verse 8. We'll turn to this later. Just listen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I love that. You know, come, I have hope this morning. God has not dealt with me in everything I've done wrong. Can I tell you something? You have not also been dealt with in everything you've done wrong also. God plainly teaches that. God is not unjust. God is not unfair. But God doesn't spank you for everything you do wrong. That's His mercy. That's His mercy. Did you know, as you read through your Bible and you find the tabernacle, and you go into the Holy of Holies, there's the which one? the laver past the laver. Now we're going into the holies. Now we got the showbread and the altar oil and the altar of incense. And you go in and you have, where's the two cherubims at? The ark. Yes, okay. My brain hiccuped, all right. Did you know on that ark of the covenant, and the place where God dwells, where the cherubim's wings point to each other, and where they would sprinkle the blood on that mercy seat. That mercy seat was solid gold, and did you know it's the only piece in the whole tabernacle. It gives you the width or the depth, and it gives you the width, but it does not tell you how deep it is. Do you know why? Because there's no depth to God's mercy. It's unmeasurable. It goes on. That mercy seat is unmeasurable. God's mercy. I do want you to see something this morning. As we're looking at Lamentations chapter 3, would you take your Bible and go to Psalm 136? Psalm 136. There's 26 verses in this psalm. And it's the thing that I find God repeats the most in His Word. And God's Word isn't boring. God's Word is not redundant. God doesn't put extra words in there for filler like we did when we wrote our reports in school, right? Okay, it's supposed to be a 12-page report. I got 10 pages of information. And you fill it up with and then, you know, you do a lot of repeating. God doesn't do it that way. When you find something repeated over and over and over and over again in the Bible, it's God's volume knob. The more it's repeated, the more God wants you to hear it, and the more God wants you to turn it up. He does that for emphasis. Watch this now. If you know the definition of mercy, God not giving us the punishment we deserve. Watch this. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Same statement. For His mercy endureth forever. Forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. Why? For His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. I'll read one more. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. And 26 times He says in one chapter of the Bible, His mercy endureth forever. What do you think God's trying to get us to picture this morning? His mercy. He hath not dealt with you after your sins. He has not spanked you for everything you've done wrong. There is a hope with God, and it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Even as we watch America being judged with her foolishness. Yet there is still what? There's still hope. There's still hope. Psalm 136, beautiful chapter. We should be glad this morning that we don't get justice, but mercy. Webster said, there's no word in the English language like mercy. There's no word like it. To get shown mercy. Mercy. When a former mayor of New York befriended a poor, dejected outcast of society, he was reproved by the prosecuting attorney who said, "That tramp's no good. He's getting only what he deserves." Hearing this, the judge interrupted the harsh counselor and he asked him with a smile, "Did you ever hear the mother who visited Napoleon on behalf of her condemned son?" The emperor told her the young man had committed the same offense twice, and justice demanded the death penalty. "But sire," she pleaded, "I don't ask for justice, only for mercy." "He doesn't deserve it," said Napoleon. "No, he doesn't. But it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. It wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it." Napoleon looked at the mother and said, "You're right. I'll grant you your request and show him mercy. I'll grant your request and show him mercy." We've learned about mercy this morning, and I'm going to come back to that. The name of the sermon this morning is called The Character of Divine Mercy. I just want you to think of one more word, because it's the opposite of mercy. Mercy is God not giving us the punishment that we deserve. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. God giving us good things that we don't deserve. When God saves you, you don't deserve it. It's not because of your family, you haven't been good enough, you're a law-breaking, hell-deserving sinner, but by His grace, He saves you and gives you what you don't deserve. It's of His mercy that you don't die and go to hell when you accept Jesus, but it's of His grace that He saves you. He gives you what you don't deserve. Grace, I like this definition. Someone turned it into an acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. Just listen to just a few verses as I read them this morning on grace. God says, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Beautiful teaching on grace. Grace is what saves you, and it's grace that helps you live holy after you get saved. It's the desire to be sober and righteous and holy after salvation. The same grace that you get when you get saved is the same grace God exercises in your heart after you're saved to live the Christian life. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I'll read you one more here. 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Somebody got a hold of these of this truth. Mercy, God not giving us what we deserve. Grace, God giving us the good things that we don't deserve. God not giving us the judgment, the negative, that's mercy. God giving us the positive, the grace of God. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall His praise begin? Somebody got a hold of that. Wonderful grace of Jesus. How about this? At Calvary, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied. Somebody got a hold of it. Somebody took it and ran with it and wrote a song. How about this one? Amazing grace, how sweet. This song, written by the slave trader John Newton. He said, "If you knew the women I've raped, and the horrible things I've done to people." And then he got saved later in life. And later, as a 70-year-old man, they asked him, after he wrote Amazing Grace, he said, I remember what a sinner I was, but I also remember what a Savior He is. If He could save a nasty, wicked individual like me, God could save anybody. And that's where the song Amazing Grace comes from. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that can pardon and cleanse within. What is grace? God giving us the good things that we don't deserve. Now I want to go back to our text. Lamentations chapter 3 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." They're new. Every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. It's true that God's people are a tried people, but God's grace is always sufficient. I know it's true that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom, but we do, praise the Lord, get to enter. What pulls us through our sufferings of this life is focusing on the glory that shall be revealed. Life is a veil of tears, and we wade through waters up to our chest, but the waves never and shall not go over us. We're still able to sing in the midst of the tempest because of God's mercy. Please remember this. If Jeremiah, in the middle of the judgment of Jerusalem and watching the Babylonians come through and slay the people and stack their bodies and the blood's running like a river, if in the middle of this book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 20 to 27, if he can say, I'm calling to remembrance, therefore I have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Do you know how he encouraged himself? He thought of God's mercy. Can I tell you something this morning, Christian? Complaining is a very bad habit. Murmuring is a sin. Complaining is a habit that must be broken like cussing needs to be broken. We overcome a negative mindset by focusing on God's mercy, just like Jeremiah did in Lamentations. How do you keep from complaining? By focusing on the good. Exactly. You remember God's mercies. It's not really that bad. It's not as bad. I remember having to change a tire in the rain. You know, my car got a flat, and this was years ago, and I remember, I'd always heard, can you praise God while you're changing a tire in the rain? If you can't, your Christianity's pretty weak. So here it is, pouring down, and my tire needs changing, and that thought came to my mind. Crud, I got to sing while I do this? So I remember I got in the trunk, got out the thing, and thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please help me not to get hit by a car. Stupid. Okay, thank you, Lord. And I remember that. I remember that. If you can't praise God while you change the tire in the rain, then your Christianity is pretty weak. I didn't say you weren't saved. I just said your Christianity is pretty weak. God uses the word compassion, but here in the Psalms, the word pity is used and means the same thing. His compassions fail not. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I want you to see this and take your Bible and go to Psalm 103, verse 11. How do I keep from complaining? How do I change my negative mindset? How do I, when I'm watching America be judged by God, how do I stay on top side? Same way Jeremiah did. I remember the Lord's mercies. I remember His grace, His compassions, His pity. Look at Psalm 103, verse 11. Watch this. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. How long did it take for that satellite to get to Mars? Thinking of having life on Mars. Bunch of cuckoo birds. Saw that thing. We might be able to raise a garden on Mars. It's stinking below zero on Mars. Year round. Because it's so far from the sun. Who wants to live on Mars? Maybe one day we could send the homosexuals and the criminals there. Here, go grow your garden. You know what I mean? On Mars, it's so far. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You know what's so beautiful about that? If you go north on the earth and you come up to the North Pole, you're then headed south until you come to the South Pole. And then you're going north again. But did you know on the earth, once you start going east, there's never a time you go west. And once you go west, there's never, as far as the east is from the west, infinity hath He removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that beautiful? Watch this. Look at verse number 13. Like as a father, same word for compassion, pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For, I love this, He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. He knows how weak we are. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Watch this, here's that word. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. The strongest Christian you know, whoever's face you're picturing right now, is pitied by the Lord. You see, God can see their weaknesses when we can only see their strengths. God can discover their defects where we merely admire the work of the Holy Spirit in them, and we admire their Christianity, and we think, wow, what a hero for the Lord. What an example to other Christians. God still pities them. It is the Father's pity, the pity of a father who smiles at the weakness of the child, who knows that even though the attempt they are making is feeble, they will eventually be able to do greater things. God has that same pity on us. This morning, it is His compassions that spanks us when we do wrong, but it's still His mercy and His pity and His compassion that holds back from smiting with what we deserve. Even when we get spanked, He didn't haul off and give us everything we deserved. Aren't you glad? That's God's mercy. You see, we should admire God's compassion and mercy. If one child is sick, they all aren't sick. And I've had times in our house, my wife called me when all five of our kids had the chicken pox at once, and every one of them was screaming. And so, could you come and help me? All the kids, you know, chicken pox, you know, and then the things break. My little daughter had it all over her head, in her mouth, all of that. And so, I remember I parked the car in front of the house. I knew what I was getting ready to go into. And you know, you do the same thing like you're psyching up to get in the ring, you know. Okay, all right, let's say... But praise God, all of the kids haven't been sick all of the time. If you have lost a friend in death, you still have many friends. You may have had losses in your business, but you aren't bankrupt. If you're in bad health, you still praise the Lord that it's not as bad as the diseases that have attacked others. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind. In the midst of judgment, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I just want you to notice for a moment this morning the Lord's mercies and how new they are. Did you know that water can only be stored for 6 months in a sealed container, just like this? It can only be stored for 6 months, and then it risks becoming stagnant. In other words, once you receive the water, unless you treat it and put chlorine in it and then seal it, it's only good for 6 months. You can't keep this forever. But did you know what a spring is? A spring is where the water comes from. It comes up out of the ground, and they say if you'll find the head of the spring where the water comes from, you can drink of it this year and 10 years from now and 30 years from now and 50 years from now. That spring's always fresh, pouring forth fresh water. I think of new. His mercies are new. Mercy is one of God's dearest attributes, but it's as old as eternity, and yet it's always fresh. It's always young. It's always new. Every morning, His mercies are new and His compassions fail not. Our trees bear fruit once a year in the fall. We pack, we pick, and then we can to store the fruit. But the mercy of God is a tree of life that bears fruit every month, at all times, in every season. Because why? His mercies are new every morning. Not some mornings, but His mercies are new every morning from January to December. God's mercies were new this morning to every person in here. Every person. Every morning ends the night. You woke up this morning. Amen? They never ask. That's how come major surgeries are done when? First part of the morning. They don't do heart surgeries or anything like that in the middle of the night. And they always ask the question, did they make it through the night? Most people don't ask the question, did they make it through the day? Because the day, what's the morning? Morning, they're new every morning. The morning ended the night. Have you ever noticed, as you woke up this morning, just think with me just for a second. Have you ever noticed how slight the difference is between a sleeping man and a dead man? There's just one difference, a beating heart. But don't they look the same? expressionless, right? There's very little different. There is a difference, but it's just a beating heart. That's all that's different. And I think you ought to praise the Lord for life. Last night, your bed didn't become your tomb. You have every right to praise the Lord this morning. His mercies are brand new with a brand new day. Every morning brings a new mercy because every morning ushers in another day. That's a new reason for praise. For we have no guarantee that we're going to wake up tomorrow. If you're lost here this morning and you don't know Jesus, it's a great mercy to have another day of grace and another opportunity to get saved, a little more space in which to escape from the hell and fly into heaven. It's God's mercy that you're alive. He kept you alive. He didn't let you die in a car wreck. If you're here this morning and you're lost, He gave you one more day to get saved. One more day. Can you imagine what it would happen if you never saw another rising sun, but you heard the Almighty God's awful sentence, "Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." What a wonderful mercy this morning that you have another day to get saved. It's an entire new day. Tomorrow morning when you wake up Monday morning, if God lets you, you'll have another new day. Did you know the new morning on God's compassions, how they fail not and His mercies are new every morning? Did you know the new morning also brings new temptations? New temptations. Some mornings bring temptation, tempting thoughts, which have never bothered me before. And I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. I know God does. But I know I'm going to be tempted tomorrow, some way. I cannot picture how Satan's going to fire his darts of doubt. As we work, as we go to work, it's not long until we're tempted to sin. We never know when we're going to be tempted. Sometimes somebody will say something critical or unkind or manipulative, and I'm tempted to answer roughly, and then I'm sorry. I don't like being drawn out into the open. You know, ask loaded questions. So as soon as you say what they're trying, I don't like the being drawn out, manipulated, asking the surgical. You know what I mean? I wish everybody could just be transparent, and what you see is what you get. Amen. Quit trying to deceive and go through the back door. Just be what you are and say what you mean and mean what you say. As I know, each new morning brings new temptations. I remember that God's mercies are also new and they enable me. Just listen, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." You'll never be tempted with something you can't bear. Praise the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. Even though I'll be tempted tomorrow, God's grace and His mercy will be new to enable me to overcome daily temptations. How about this? His compassions are new every morning because every morning I commit fresh sins. I'm not out to sin. But I'm going to sin until this one day this nasty sinning flesh is laid in the grave and I go home to be with my Lord, with my perfect body. So I have to face the fact tomorrow I want to do it as little as possible. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to disappoint Him. There's no such thing as somebody lives without sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Right? 1 John. I'm going to disappoint Him tomorrow somehow, some way. Tomorrow morning also means I'll commit fresh sins. I have to constantly guard my thoughts and my imaginations. I watch my eyes. I guard my tongue. I keep my body pure. Yet my heart is still prone to wander. But I praise the Lord for His fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins that washes me clean. His compassions are new every morning because with every new sin comes a new pardon and new forgiveness. His compassions, they fail not. Remember, Our Lord Jesus girded Himself with a towel. He poured water into a bowl and He washed His disciples' feet. And then He said, every one of you is clean with all. When you get saved, you become pure in the eyes of the Lord. But just like Jesus gave us an example in washing the disciples' feet, you're also supposed to have a time where you confess your sins every day. Amen. Every Christian is supposed to have a time every day where they say, God, I failed You here, and I'm sorry for this thought, and I'm sorry for this word, and I'm sorry, just like Jesus. Well, He didn't save them. He didn't re-save them. You don't get re-saved. Once saved, always saved. If saved, amen. Aren't you glad? Can't lose it. However, you do need a time every day where you confess your sins to the Lord. Hebrews 4:16. Let me just tell you, our daily sins and our pollutions need daily cleansing. We've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus and we're clean in the sight of God, but we need to be daily cleansed from our daily sins by confessing them to the Lord. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tomorrow morning brings new temptations. Tomorrow morning brings new sin, fresh sin. But every morning also brings a new mercy, and His compassions fail not, because each day brings its trials, its anxieties, and its necessities. Can I I'll just read you this, and we're coming to a close. Deuteronomy 33 says, verse 25 says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God doesn't say, as thy day is, so shall thy... God says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That means every day, God gives you the strength you need to make it through that day. That's why you get an ulcer. That's why you have an emotional breakdown. If you take on tomorrow's worries, God gives you the strength today to handle what you have to go through today. Quit worrying about tomorrow. He may come, He may call you home tomorrow. But today, you have strength to do what God wants you to do today. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, every day God gives you the strength that you need. His compassions are new every morning to meet your needs. Lamentations chapter 3 says this, this I recall to my mind, in the midst of judgment, bloody judgment, I have hope. Because it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. You say, what was the crux of this morning's sermon? I'd like you to know this morning that no matter what you're going through, every person in here has a reason to praise God. Amen. Our praise should never shut down. And if we get so negative and so... I understand we can get depressed. I understand we can get bogged down. But you have a reason to praise God. He has been good to you. I don't always see His goodness like I should. But He's always good. He's always good. And when I can't see it, it's not His fault. It's my fault. Amen? His compassions fail not, and every morning His mercies are new. The benefits of divine mercy. Let's pray. Father, please, help us this morning.